My guest is writer Richard Ford, whose 1986 novel The Sports Writer was highly praised by critics. His new book, Rock Springs, is a collection of short stories, most of which are set in Montana, where Ford now lives. In reviewing Rock Springs for the New York Times, Michiko Kakutani wrote, "In Rock Springs, things have a way of stupidly, abruptly going wrong, changing in a single unwatched moment the course of an entire life, and dividing all time irrevocably into a now and a then." This volume should confirm Ford's emergence as one of the most compelling and eloquent storytellers of his generation, unquote. I began my interview with Richard Ford by asking him to read from the title story, Rock Springs.
In this story, a man has stolen a car and run off with his girlfriend and his own daughter, heading for Florida. And at some point in that journey, everything kind of falls apart. And his girlfriend leaves him. He's left with his daughter at night, alone, in a Ramada Inn, wondering what in the world to do next. And this is the last paragraph of that story. I walked over to a car, a Pontiac with Ohio tags, one of the ones with bundles and suitcases strapped to the top and a lot more in the trunk by the way it was riding. I looked inside the driver's window. There were maps and paperback books and sunglasses and the little plastic holders for cans that hang on the window wells. And in the back, there were kids' toys and some pillows and a cat box with a cat sitting in it, staring up at me like I was the face of the moon. It all looked familiar to me, the very same things I would have in my car if I had a car. Nothing seemed surprising, nothing different, though I had a funny sensation at that moment and turned and looked up at the windows along the back of the motel. All were dark except two, mine and another one. And I wondered, because it seemed funny, what would you think a man was doing if you saw him in the middle of the night looking in the windows of cars in the parking lot of a Ramada Inn? Would you think he was trying to get his head cleared? Would you think he was trying to get ready for a day when trouble would come down on him? Would you think his girlfriend was leaving him? Would you think he had a daughter? Would you think he was anybody like you?
Do you think of that as your job as a writer, in a way, making readers think about characters in ways they otherwise wouldn't have?
Well, it's funny. That might be the way it comes out. Mostly what I think of my job is, and mostly what I think about my job is, that it's a privilege. I think about the opportunity to write about the most important things that I know about. I do think that if the stories succeed, I point my readers to people's lives, lives that may be different from theirs, but which are at the same time like theirs.
In your stories, there are frequently seemingly trivial actions that take place or small coincidences that end up causing some kind of irrevocable change in someone's life. Yeah. Have things like that happened to you? Have small things disrupted your life in an irrevocable way or in a bad way that really changed your life?
Well, large things have happened in seemingly irrevocable ways. I mean, but I don't think that in my life they're any different from the things that happen in everybody's life. You know, deaths of loved ones, illnesses. When I was a kid, I had hepatitis, and I remember the doctor coming into my room one day when I'd been in bed about 6 weeks and saying, "Well, it's possible that you won't die." And I thought to myself, "Die?" I said, "I'm just 20 years old." And he said it in such an offhand way that I don't think I've ever quite recovered from the kind of small business way he came into the room and remarked that I probably wasn't going to die of this. And beyond that, I think that everybody lives his life day to day through small events. We don't have very many great epiphanies on a day-to-day level.
I'm going to quote you again. This is a quote from The Sports Writer, your novel. And the main character says, "If there's anything that sports writing teaches you, it is that there are no transcendent themes in life. The other view is a lie of literature and the liberal arts." Do you distrust novels or literature with transcendent themes and tidy beginnings and endings?
Well,
are you trying to do something different in your literature?
Well, that in some ways owes to a question you asked before about observing the world in its small moments and its small details. I really think that that's where everybody lives, and you can distort that fact. And I don't know In fact, I don't think it is really writers who do that so much. It's people who write about writing who discover what themes are there and discover what is transcendent about a piece of literature or a piece of writing. I think in a way that what Frank was talking about, if I can speak about Frank as if he existed, which in fact he's a character in literature and doesn't entirely exist, he was just talking about the ways in which conventional wisdom can be a detriment to our understanding the day-to-day goings-on in our life. We all know people, I think, you and I, anybody, know people who sort of go through their lived life as if it were a syllabus topic. And I think I believe myself that that's not a very expert way to go through your life, because it causes you to miss the minutiae, it causes you to miss the conflicting details, which make life at once more interesting and more complicated.
The way I understand it, when you were growing up, your father was a traveling salesman.
Yes.
And your mother's family owned hotels or motels?
They were in the hotel business in Little Rock, and before that in Oklahoma City.
So did you travel a lot?
I did indeed. I traveled with my father through in the South, in Louisiana and Arkansas and Mississippi and Alabama. So I was kind of really on the run from the time I was about 8, and in some ways I've been on the run ever since.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, my wife and I, we've just kind of stayed on the move for one reason or other, trying to find some place that we thought was interesting, trying to find some place we liked better. I think that may be coming to an end. We just bought a house in Montana, which we like a lot, and we also have a lot of affection for Mississippi, where I'm from. So I think it may be that as close as we get to ever settling down, we'll be living part of the year in the mountains up here and part of the year back in the Delta in Mississippi.
So you've really stayed in a lot of hotels in your time.
Yes, I haven't stayed in enough of them as far as I'm concerned.
You like them?
Yes, I like them a lot.
There's a great line that I want to read in Rock Springs, the title story of your new collection. And it's about hotels, and it's, the main character is driving a stolen car, so he's basically hiding out from the police, and he's going to a hotel. And he says, I knew that it was in the little nowhere places that the police look for you and find you. People I'd known were always being arrested in cheap hotels and tourist courts with names you'd never heard of before, never in Holiday Inns or travel lodges. What made you think about that? You probably stayed in a lot of those little places that had unrecognizable names.
Well, it's interesting. Why? It's interesting to me. It may not be interesting to anybody else. I mean, I've seen a lot of people be arrested in hotels. The criminal instinct, in some ways, is a defeatable instinct, because the law probably has been thinking about where people hide out a lot longer than the individual fellow is who's on the outside of the law.
Most of your characters believe in luck, and they're always watching signs to see if the signs indicate that their luck is going to change.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you're superstitious when a new book comes out.
No, I'm really not superstitious about that or about anything. I mean, I'm not going to walk under a ladder, frankly, because there's just no use inviting bad luck. But I do believe, when I guess I talk about luck, that what I guess I'm getting at is that, back to that old line, bad things can happen to you, and then that's bad luck. And then if something less than bad happens to you, well, that's good luck. When something really good happens to you, that's wonderful luck. But I'm not superstitious when books come out, and I'll tell you why. Because with the 4 books that I've written in my life over these 15 or so years, I've done my best at every one of them. And at that point, I can't do anything else. And I just give it up to the world at that point. And so to hope for it or to be superstitious about its fate in the world seems to just be a waste of my interest, a waste of my time. I've done my best. Here it is. What happens to it will be what happens to it.
Well, I really enjoy your writing, and I want to thank you very much for
talking
with us.
You're very kind to say so, and it's nice to talk to you.
Richard Ford's new collection of short stories, Rock Springs, is published by Atlantic Monthly Press.